leaders. What keeps you up at night? Welcome to The Sweet Spot, the podcast series that expands the traditional term of what a boss is to tackle some of the most important issues in business. From business as usual and growing your market to everyday leadership issues or handling one in 100 year events, we aim to provide ongoing inspiration and education for CEOs, founders, management, shareholders, and leaders of every stripe. The Sweet Spot is the future of work and business.
On today's episode, I speak to Sophie Correa, a wellbeing specialist based in Auckland, in New Zealand. Sophie worked as a lawyer, a consultant, and then a senior national manager of over 25 staff. She knows firsthand how difficult it can be to balance work life and holistic wellbeing, but claims it is her key to success. Sophie began teaching in 2009 and since has acquired a diverse skill set in yoga, Pilates, meditation, mindfulness, and sound healing. Since transitioning full-time into her own business, Sophie has woven together her skills and leadership experience to develop classes, workshops, wellness programs, and events that are accessible for people of all abilities and lifestyles. Welcome, Sophie. Thank you so much for joining me on the C-Suite Spot today. It's great to have you.
Oh, I just love being here. Thank you.
To start off, can you tell our audience a bit about yourself and your transition from the corporate world into the wellbeing space?
Sure. Wow. Where do I begin? I guess when I grew up, I was always kind of into nature and loved, you know, doing practices for myself. Had a bit of, I guess, a tough time growing up and my fair share of traumas. So when I got to university, I'm a typical kind of overachiever. I kind of poured myself into my studies. I did a double degree, law and psychology, and I discovered yoga, and it was really just my place to escape and come back to my breath, and it really calmed me. I discovered when I began practicing that my studies were better. I felt clearer. I was happier. It helped me process emotions like I hadn't ever before. So I always used it as a way to help me as I became overwhelmed or stressed or leading up to exams. And it was really complementary to my career in the law, I guess. And I felt very passionately about sharing those skills with people because I knew how much it had helped me. And so I learned to be an instructor from a very early age so that I could work part-time whilst I was studying and as well, you know, throughout my legal career and eventually throughout my consulting career. So I began my own business and I was teaching on the side, and I really felt so fulfilled when I was teaching and noticed the transformative ability it had for people. And it was quite rare being in the legal environment and having to step out of that into a totally different world. But yeah, I guess that love was always there from a very early stage. But in my mind, you know, I had been so lucky to get a good job coming out of university, and I felt certain expectations on myself to stay in the legal world. And I transitioned into consulting and worked for an incredible company, had amazing opportunities. I traveled the world. I got to work with hundreds of businesses and managed a huge team. And a lot of the success I had in that role was due to these wellness practices. And yoga was the beginning, but they obviously just kind of spiraled from there. I learned lots of different techniques, and they really, really helped me when I was under stress and when I was under pressure and when I had to lead teams and when we were growing exponentially, going through huge amounts of change. I guess I was always complimented on my calmness and my ability to be able to connect to people. And meanwhile, I was also still developing my business on the side. So I was teaching classes in my spare time and, you know, working in studios and running retreats and events and everything. So there came that push point where I was really kind of at a burnout. Even though I had all these tools, I had to kind of make a choice. I could keep kind of running the hamster wheel Or I could really just put all my attention and energy into helping others. And that had been my passion from the beginning. I knew it would lead to an extreme lifestyle change. And I think that was my hesitation for a while. And so it really took the confidence to make that leap, which took a while to grow, I guess. But once I did, I never looked back. And the ability I have to kind of do what I love now, to help people, to put all my energy into, you know, inspiring others to live a really well-balanced life. I'm, I guess, just really proud that I did that. And, you know, it definitely took a lot of years of hustling, like building a business on the side and then making that leap. But yeah, I feel like all the skills and my degrees have been really complementary to building my own business and connecting with people and, you know, helping corporates and individuals on their journeys. So it's been great.
Thank you for sharing that. There were quite a few things there which I'd like to come back to later about well-being and leadership and the stresses that leaders of any sort are feeling at any point, but especially in the environment of today.
Totally.
Before we get to that, I just wanted to, you touched on it a little bit. There was that huge transition from also the expectations of yourself on the lifestyle, on what you were doing. You were going from the legal world into the well-being. What are some misconceptions that you yourself might have had and that others have about what you do nowadays?
Oh, I love this question. So there's an incredible story that I think sums this up very well. I remember when I made the decision that I was going to leave my job, I couldn't tell my mother. I knew that her expectations of me were so high, and if I had told her before, that she had convinced me not to do it. So I remember resigning and then calling her and telling her what I was doing, and obviously, you know, you get the response you expected. But I think, you know, that was a very liberating moment for me. I knew that going into the wellness space, it was quite a few years ago now, so it was still kind of that very woohoo vibe. And I think especially now some of the practices that I do, you know, with sound baths and meditation and yoga, it can still have that facade of being quite just not accessible to people who haven't had a spiritual experience or maybe haven't tried something before. But if anything, my mission is to really make these practices accessible and inclusive and show that you can be, I don't want to say normal, normal's not the right word, but, you know, you can be inexperienced or just open-minded enough to try something, especially in this day and age where I think we're under a huge amount of stress. Our nervous systems are so overwhelmed. A lot of it just comes back to the body and nourishing the body and the mind and finding something that will benefit you. And there's no harm in trying something new. I think I did struggle when I first entered the space because there are a lot of people that are deeply ingrained and have their own philosophies. But the beautiful thing is that every person is unique and brings their own unique flair. So it really was my mission to keep it inclusive, keep it accessible to anyone, especially those people who might be finding it for the first time or be beginners in the space, because I was there. I didn't grow up in a very spiritual home. So these are all practices that I have developed over time or come across over time, and I'm still open-minded. I'm constantly evolving, I'm constantly changing and learning, and that's what excites me, and hopefully people see that through what I teach.
Beautiful. And you mentioned it just now, and as a little preclaimer here, I've had the wonderful enjoyment of doing a few of your sound baths before.
Yes.
I'm a big fan of them, and to believe that they're really good for you. Can you explain a bit more about what they actually are, especially for our listeners that haven't even heard of sound baths? What is it? How does it work? And why is it supposedly so good for us?
All right. So yes, disclaimer that you won't need any togs for a sound bath. During my sound baths, I play a selection of beautiful instruments from all over the world, and they're selected because they emit frequencies that have the ability to take our brainwaves from our normal waking state to one of deep rest, relaxation, deep sleep even. You might hear a few snores. But the beauty is that there's been so much research done in this area. Bruce Lipton talks about conductive resonance, which basically is when our bodies are exposed to these sounds. They effortlessly bring the cells in our body into a harmonic state. So if you think about it, everyone's going through different things in their lives, emotionally, physically. So when you walk into the room, each time you're going to have a unique experience depending on where you're at that day and the different energies in your body, how aligned they are, how blocked they are. So through listening to these sounds, it kind of brings those cells and energetic balance back into equilibrium. And there's, again, these beautiful tune beds, which Google are using now for their employees, and they actually emit particular frequencies to create different sensations. So if they want to enhance creativity or focus. So not only, you know, is music being used to relax, it's also being used for productivity and creativity and, you know, immunity, which is, it's really incredible. There's even been research around using sound frequencies instead of medications, which I found incredibly fascinating. So if you think about, if you take a vitamin C pill, this is getting quite woohoo, I know, but you know, that vitamin C can have a particular frequency associated with it. So what if you could listen to a song instead of actually taking the vitamin C, and your body could have those same benefits, particularly due to the absorption. It's it enters your body a lot quicker, and it's a lot more potent through hearing versus absorbing into the bloodstream. But I'm no scientist, so I won't go off on too much of a tangent, but there's just incredible research in this space. So yeah, it really does help with those energetic blockages and releasing. But there's so many benefits. You have, you know, reduced heart rate, reduced blood pressure. It helps with feelings of anxiety, reduces fatigue, and actually really amplifies creativity. So as I said, it really depends on the individual and how they enter the room and how open they are to receive. But every experience will be completely different depending on how you turn up.
And it's quite powerful. And it sounds like it's almost like a super, super relaxation and alignment form of wellness there.
Totally. I think most people come expecting just to kind of relax or just are a bit intrigued, and leave with their mind a bit blown, you know, like, I don't want to set the expectations too high because it's different for everyone. But, you know, yeah, it really is an experience you need to have yourself to understand, I guess. But the main thing is just knowing that you can literally walk off the street and do it. Mm. You know, you don't have to be in a particular part of your life, you know, to be wearing white clothing, you know, it's just very accessible to anyone wherever you are.
And for our listeners, just also explaining that you literally just lie on the floor and you have, if you go to a sound bath of Sophie, you lie in a beautiful warm room and you lie there. You can have a blanket or a pillow on it. It's very relaxing and you just have the sound literally wash over you. Mm. Touching on something that you said just there with the sound and how it aligns our body. Do you think that music has a similar impact on our well-being?
Sure. I mean, you know, I was in the car here, I was playing a song to like pump me up. No baby, so it was great. So I think definitely music has a place. You know, we all know our favorite songs, you know, get us in the mood, or, you know, we go through a heart-wrenching breakup and Adele makes us sad, or I definitely think music has a place. The thing that a sound bath does is the instruments are carefully selected. So they have that frequency that has the ability to, you know, change the brainwaves or work on a cellular level. So, you know, there's probably aspects of that as you are listening to music, don't get me wrong. At the end of the day, it comes down to the individual and what suits you best and what gives you the most comfort. You know, you want to feel safe and secure in the space that you're in. So, you know, doing a sound bath off YouTube might be quite different to doing one in a studio, or, you know, listening to songs. They definitely create certain emotions. The beautiful thing about a sound bath is it's probably happening more on a subconscious level than a conscious level, whereas I feel when you're listening to music, it's a very conscious experience. You can usually feel that shift in your emotions at that time and space. The benefits of the sound bath exceed the actual experience. So you'll probably have the best sleep of your life after a sound bath, or just experience the impacts for up to 48 hours afterwards. So there are some nuances there.
Quite the unique experience.
Yeah.
Going back to something that you mentioned previously, I'd like to shift the conversation to the workplace and well-being in the workplace. Mm. You mentioned Google having these sound beds.
Yeah.
Can we talk more about workplaces, the well-being, some of the common issues that businesses and individuals face, especially in the current environment? But on a whole, I think you have led big teams in the past in a corporate life.
Yeah.
Bosses have a lot of challenges, a lot of weight and responsibility on their shoulders. What are some of the common themes about well-being that you've encountered?
Totally. I mean, in my consulting role, I met with hundreds of businesses. So that was hundreds of CEOs, HR managers. Obviously, I was leading my own field-based team for 3 years. And there were some really overarching themes. And that was, you know, bosses are time poor, and they really want to find ways to engage their staff and feel connected to their staff. And honestly, the biggest driving force, I believe, is that you have to be able to inspire your employees. And it really starts with the leader. So in terms of well-being of staff, it's going to be really difficult to encourage that if you're not leading by example. And I think about the leaders that inspired me the most, and a lot of those were leaders that I've been under. And the ones that have left the most impression on me are those who really took care of themselves. So as a leader, I found it pretty profound. I came into my role and really took a new approach to the manager that had been there before. My main thing was to really treat my staff as people rather than machines, just churning out work, because obviously we're under pressure, you know, especially in these times. Efficiency and productivity, don't get me wrong, are huge. But there are different ways to go about it. And by treating your staff as human beings, you know, understanding what's going on in their personal lives, what makes them happy, what makes them tick, what struggles that they're having, you know, it only takes a few minutes to kind of check in with a staff member. And the benefit, I'm getting tingles, the benefit that you have as a result, you know, you have increased trust and loyalty, and you know, you are able to actually tackle problems before they even arise because you have your finger on the pulse. And this doesn't mean that the boss has to be over this. So there might be someone in the company who can have these conversations for them and report back. But as long as there is that presence, and you know, it can be as simple as how you give an instruction or how you ask for deliverables, the words that are given, as to how someone responds. Because don't get me wrong, now I think even with the generations coming through, wellness is part of our world. There's a certain expectation as a staff member now for what you receive in the workplace, and it's going to be well-being. You know, they want bosses who care about them. They want bosses who are investing in their own well-being, and you can't really escape from that. So I think it's really about, yeah, leading by example and taking that time to invest, because the companies I've been working with recently, I've seen that. I've seen how they look up to their leaders, how their leaders are actually engaged in the workshops that we're doing. They're part of it. They promote it. They live and breathe that type of lifestyle. And that filters down it creates attrition and leads to many less, you know, obstacles to overcome because these staff are loyal. And it doesn't have to say you have to be a yogi, but there are definitely certain ways that you can incorporate well-being into your business. And the beauty is that once you take that time to invest in your staff, the issues, the engagement, the connection, it all just flows.
Mm.
Yeah.
Let's talk more about that. So you do work with a number of corporates, and I believe you offer corporate well-being programs.
Yeah.
Talk us through that. What does that look like? What does it mean?
Sure. Well, I guess from my experience, I know how much of a struggle it can be, you know, in the corporate world. And it's very easy to get caught up in the grind and having this linear lifestyle every day, getting up at the same time, eating the same meals with our same routine. And that's not to say there can't be structure in your life. But when you start to pay more attention to these natural seasonal cycles, these are cues that are in nature around us all the time. And whether you're living in a concrete jungle, whether you're, you know, living out on a farm, you can adopt these practices. And they're really aimed to empower you as a human, to help you stay motivated throughout the year and adapt these simple practices that just help change up your routine and reflect on your life in different ways and promote different sensations throughout the year. And what this does is fosters a really refreshing energy. So it keeps people motivated, it keeps them inspired. And I really noticed this boost in self-esteem and self-discovery transcends into the workplace. You know, when people are feeling good in their mind and their body, they're going to be happier, they're going to work better. And when people do these programs as a team and are on this journey together, they share their experiences, they celebrate together. It's really, really cool to witness the evolution that takes place in the workplace. So yeah, it's been a very rewarding program to create based off all my experience, and it's pretty unique. And it has really great topics that we cover around nutrition, immunity, movement, hydration, sun protection. It's not, you know, super woohoo. It's very accessible. And I create these 20-minute workouts and yoga and Pilates and yin yoga, which is stretching, and we do meditations and breathing exercises, journaling. It's really like a taster of all these incredible wellness practices. And my focus is to approach people as individuals, and they basically offered this smorgasbord of beautiful options and can kind of hone in on what attracts them the most or what resonates with them the most. So I really take the time to engage with each person on an individual level as well as a group to make sure that I know what will engage them the best and how they can make the most of the experience. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
That sounds cool. And it's, as you mentioned before, it's really about bringing in that view of employees being people as well, and seeing the whole person rather than just the number and the productivity.
Yeah.
We have done a lot of work with the 4-day week and the 4-day week movement globally,
cool.
which has been really fascinating to see grow. So it's really, you can see all around us that mentality shift to, okay, well, what does a productivity, what does good business look like?
Yeah.
How can we support our employees as individuals and as humans? So it's really the topic of the moment, this whole well-being.
Yeah, especially with more people working from home over COVID. Yeah, it works.
For those who might not see meditating as accessible to them, or bosses that feel like, okay, well, you know, I have always focused on productivity. I've always driven that kind of leadership line.
Yeah.
What do you have any techniques, or what are your tips for leaders that might be struggling with coming to that sort of point of meditating for themselves and with their teams?
Totally. And I think I 100% get it. You know, I've worked with all types of businesses, all types of people. And again, it really is about what attracts you to feeling the best version of yourself. So for that, it might be cooking an amazing meal, being really kind of mindful. It might start from the selecting the ingredients, going to a market place or even the supermarket and, you know, taking that time to think about what you're going to create. It could be as simple as walking your dog or going for a walk in nature on the beach, just finding something that's really going to ground you. It could be as simple as finding some really gentle, just breathing exercises. You know, the amount of, when you take that time to sit down and just breathe, like that realization that you actually haven't taken a proper breath all day, I 100% know that it can be a struggle for some people, and there are definitely ways that you can make it your own. So it really is about, I think, being open enough to try something and starting with small baby steps. You know, I try and encourage this in what I do, is that not everything is going to resonate with everyone, but if you just try the taste of it and then if it's appealing, you grow that. You know, you might start with a 2-minute breathing exercise, and over the year that might develop into a 20-minute practice, or that might not be for you. Another really essential thing is just getting rest and getting sleep, because I think we are so deprived. You know, we're actually one of the only animals in the world that know how much sleep we need and consciously deprive ourselves of it. You know, it could be that extra scrolling that we do before bed, or just, you know, staying up to watch your favorite program, binge on something. We're all human. We all do it. And there's no judgment. It's just, you know, once you get that better level of sleep, everything's going to function. Once you're eating a bit better, once you're hydrating yourself, everything's going to fall into place. So it really is about knowing that you deserve the best. And what does that look like for you?
Being open to actually having a play around with what could work for you.
Yeah. And talking to different people, putting yourself in new environments, because I mean, I didn't know I liked yoga until I turned up, or I didn't know I'd be teaching sound bars until I had my first experience. So, you know, it's definitely, you do need that element of open-mindedness and that self-awareness to notice how it's showing up for you or how it's impacting your body or your mind. You know, that time to reflect. Yeah.
Could you share a breathing exercise with us for our listeners, anyone here wanting to actually take a breath?
Totally. That's so cool. I think a really beautiful way that I like to begin is a very simple practice, because it's easy to remember, and it's called box breathing. So all it involves is basically, if you think about a cube or a box, it's got the four sides, right? So you can see me, I'm kind of creating this with my finger. But as you inhale for four counts, and then you hold your breath for four counts, and then you exhale for four counts, and then you hold your breath for four counts. So just think 4 seconds, 4 seconds, 4 seconds, 4 seconds, and then inhale, hold, exhale, hold. Because this is a beautiful thing, what this is, it's a really simple breathing exercise to calm your nervous system down. So you can do it when you're in the car, like waiting to pick up some kids, or, you know, in the supermarket before after you get a really intense email. You can do it before a movement practice. And it's also a really beautiful one to do with kids, because it's quite, you know, visual. But it's, you know, you can probably even just do like 3 rounds of it and feel the difference. But if you can do like at least 10 rounds, and it will just kind of take that time to notice how you are when you sit down, and then notice how you are at the end.
Let's do that. If you're listening to this and you're not into box breathing, just skip ahead. For those that do want to give it a try, we'll do, let's say, 3 rounds of breathing.
Sure.
All right.
Okay.
I'll take your lead.
Okay, I'll cue you through. So just take a nice clearing breath, like in through your nose and out through your mouth. And then we're just going to take an inhale before. 3, 2, 1. Hold at the top for 4. 3, 2, 1. And exhale, 4. 3, 2, 1. And hold your breath, 4. 3, 2, 1. Inhale, 4. 3, 2, 1. Hold, 4. 3, 2, 1. Exhale, 4, three, two, one. Hold, four, three, two, one. Inhale, four, three, two, one. Hold, four, three, two, one. Exhale, four, three, two, one. Last hold, four, three, two, and one.
Thank you. I do feel like I'm like relaxed.
Yeah, you look a bit lighter. I mean, energetically.
Well, thank you for that. And yeah, a really easy, accessible thing that you can do, and just when you need a moment before. Calm your nerves before a meeting, before a presentation, if you're pitching new business.
Totally.
Or at the end of the day, just to when you come home, de-stress. That sounds great.
Yeah.
My final question for our conversation today is going right back to sound baths.
Yeah.
Again, not everyone might be open to it. Some might still be a bit nervous. For newcomers, what is your advice? How do you suggest they go about actually seeking out a sound bath?
Sure. Well, I truly believe that it is accessible to anyone. And I know that from, you know, that the people that come along are all ages, all backgrounds. I've even had, you know, disabled people come along and had a benefit from it. So firstly, you know, don't discount yourself. Some people really enjoy coming along with others. So they come with friends. I guess it's a little less scary that way, and you can share your experience with them afterwards. I guess just don't knock it till you try it. It's a beautiful experience. I think the main thing is to know that you're in a really safe and secure place. The way that I do it is really encouraged to be incredibly relaxing. So there are lots of different sound journeys out there. Mine might be quite different if you've done another one before. You know, so the main thing I think is just to come in and not have too many expectations. I really make the effort to try and make people feel as relaxed as possible. You know, there's no rules when it comes to it. You can move around, you can, you know, wear what you like, you can have anyone with you, you can have any kind of cushions or soft toys or anything that you might need. So it's really your experience. It's not about anyone else in the room. It's just a beautiful thing. And if you're curious, you can always reach out and just have a chat with me. If you've never done anything spiritual before, it's great. I actually think the first sound bath is the hardest because you just don't know what to expect, you know. And then I've got people that come almost every week, month, and their body just is like relaxes as soon as it comes in the room. It knows what to expect. So yeah, I guess don't have any expectation. There's no limitations. Everyone is welcome. And if you have any questions leading up to it, just reach out. Yeah, I know it can be a bit daunting, but there's something beautiful about trying something new, kind of getting out of your comfort zone. And at any stage, if you feel uncomfortable, of course, you can leave. I've never had that happen, so something must be working. But yeah, there's absolutely no judgment in that space. I just appreciate everyone turning up because it allows me to do what I do.
And it is something really special. And as you said, it's about actually being the whole person so that when we're more balanced at home, we can be better balanced and better leaders at work. Thank you so much for coming in today and talking to me about well-being and giving us a bit of an insight into you, sound baths, and the many benefits of that. With contacting you, if someone wants to reach out, they want to try a sound bath, they want to follow your journey, how can people find you?
Sure. So my website's pretty good. It's pretty comprehensive. It's www.crossingxpaths.com. I also have an Instagram, which is @crossingxpaths, as well as Facebook. And through my website, you can book your sound bath. All the ticketing is there. You can also contact me through a form. So yeah, don't be a stranger.
Thank you so much, Sophie. And we'll be sure to put the links to your website and your tags into the show notes as well, so people can contact you. Also workplaces and leaders that might have been inspired to just give it a go. And thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Emily. It's been such a pleasure.
We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Please like, review, or share the podcast with your friends and colleagues. If you'd like to follow us, you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn under Alexander PR, or follow the links in the show notes below. Until next time, thank you for listening.